Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 65, 7 Ideas to Break Out of Your Cooking Rut. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that helps aspiring home cooks grow their skills and confidence in the kitchen. Really glad you're joining me today, and wherever you're coming from, whether it's iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or any of the other awesome podcast apps or websites where you find your favorite shows, thanks for taking the time out of your day to listen to what I have to say. So for today's episode, I'm tackling one of the comments I hear somewhat frequently from folks I talk to when I talk about home cooking, whether it's listeners or just folks I, acquaintances or people I run into. One thing that I hear a lot from folks is that they don't have time to do any cooking. And I've tackled that a couple of different times on the show, and I'm sure I'll be talking about it much, much more in the future. But today I'm going to be taking on another comment that I receive, and that is, I just don't really know what to cook. Or a variation, I cook so many dishes, 5 or 6 or 10 or whatever, and I'm just getting quite tired of cooking the same thing over and over again. My family's getting tired of it. I'm not inspired. I don't know how to break out of this rut that I'm in when it comes to cooking food at home. Now, I did kind of tackle a similar topic back in episode 49 with Help, I Don't Know What to Cook. And that was kind of more of a foundational sort of a conversation about where you find your cooking muse, if you will. But I'm doing it a little bit differently for today. I actually have 7 ideas that'll help you break out of your cooking rut. Before I jump right into that, though, as always, I want to remind everybody that you can send me an email if you have any questions or if you have any interesting ideas on today's topic. You can send email to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. And if you're enjoying the show and you think other people would enjoy it, please be sure to tell your friends about it. And if you have a few extra minutes, head over to iTunes or Stitcher or wherever it is you get the podcast and leave a rating and review if you're so inclined. That really helps us out. All right, I don't want to spend too much time on that housekeeping stuff because these 7 ideas are going to be a lot of fun to go through. So let's jump right into it. All right, so 7 ideas to break out of your cooking rut. Of course, these aren't a comprehensive list. There's probably dozens and dozens and dozens of ideas that you can come up with to break out of your cooking rut, your doldrums in the kitchen, if you will. But I've got 7 for you right here. Some are pretty basic and you can just do the next time you're ready to cook. And some, might require a little more planning. But let's go down the list and see what you think of these 7 ideas. All right, idea number 1, shop somewhere new. Sometimes a change in perspective is all you really need to come up with new ideas. I find myself doing this. My wife and I do this all the time, too. We shop generally at the same place every week. We kind of have our routine, the way we go and pick up whatever it is we need for the week, food-wise. And it can become predictable and mundane, and you don't notice interesting things when you go to the store anymore if you go to the same place all the time and you have the same routine. So maybe you need to switch up your store. Maybe you need to go to a different grocery store, for example, and just kind of have your complacent shopping self jarred a little bit so you see things in a different way. Maybe there's a different bakery section that has some new and interesting types of breads. Or maybe the produce section is more well-stocked or has more interesting varieties of vegetables than your regular store. And that's just talking about, a grocery store or a supermarket. One really great place when it comes to shopping for food, for cooking at home, that there are a couple great places that can really give you inspiration is shopping at farmers markets or specialty food stores. And I don't mean specialty food stores like Whole Foods. I consider that just a really expensive supermarket. I mean specialty food stores like Asian food markets or Latin American food markets, those sorts of stores that really zero in on a culture or a region or cuisine and offer things that you just can't find at a regular grocery store. And the reason I like these two places to find inspiration to break out of your cooking rut is because the folks that are in these locations selling, whether they're the farmers or the growers or the specialty meat purveyors or whatever at the farmer's market, or the folks that work in these specialty markets, they are going to have really, really great ideas for pretty much whatever it is you can find in that location. So if you're at the farmer's market and you're in a really awesome fresh produce booth, and you're checking out some interesting root vegetables you've never used before, ask the folks there, because they're probably growing these vegetables. They know how to prepare them. They know in what ways to make them the most delicious or the easiest preparation. So you can get some really great ideas from the vendors. Same way with the specialty food markets or the ethnic food markets. Those folks can tell you about the interesting ingredients that you're finding. They can tell you how they're traditionally prepared, or how they're prepared in the United States that differs from a traditional preparation, or what, how you shouldn't use things. So there's just really a fertile ground at just switching up your food shopping routine. Go to a different grocery store, go to farmers markets, specialty food, or ethnic markets. All right. Idea number two, try a recipe exchange with your friends. Now, this one sounds pretty obvious or straightforward or maybe even boring, but you know, when you really think about it, think for a second in your own case, how many quote unquote go-to recipes or dishes you kind of have for your family. These are the dishes that you know you're probably going to eat at least once a week or once every couple weeks or even more often. You can make them easily. You kind of know the recipe. You know the variations. You know the tips and tricks for making it well. And I don't know, maybe you have four or five or six or something like that. Well, let's just say those core recipes that you're always going back to. And part of that is what's, you know, putting you in this rut. These are the recipes you keep going back to. But now think of it from the perspective of your friends who also cook at home. So think of your friends that also have a family or similar situation as yourself who do home cooking. You know what? They probably have a go-to list of 4, 5, 6, 10, whatever it is, recipes that they always fall back on. And you know what? Chances are most of those recipes aren't the same as yours. I'm sure of it. So get together with your friend, pick a friend or two, commit to swapping some of your go-to recipes, commit to trying them out, tweaking them, playing with them, observing things, and then getting back together with your friend and say, hey, you know what? I tried out your lasagna recipe. It was really good, but you know what I did? I put a different sort of cheese sauce in it or whatever it is. And you might not only spark inspiration for yourself, but you might give your friend some new ideas on the dishes that they're always cooking. And at the end of the day, you'll probably end up with a half dozen or so new recipes that you might feel excited about making for your family that go into your stable of regular recipes. And you know what? You spend time with friends, so where can you go wrong there? All right, idea number three for breaking out of your cooking rut. This is one of my personal favorites, and this is visit a spice shop, and preferably in person, but if you can't find one in person, you can do it online as well. But here's why going to the local spice shop or the spice shop in the city, this is why it's so great. You're going to run into things that you've never heard of, that you have no idea what they are. It's going to be a sensory experience, because pretty much any spice market worth their salt, no pun intended, will let you smell the spices and maybe even let you look at them and, you know, just really get into it. It's going to be a really great sensory experience. And most spice markets, in addition to selling just individual spices, will also sell spice blends. And just like I mentioned earlier with the grocery store or the ethnic or specialty markets, the folks in the spice market that are selling the spices are going to have an encyclopedic knowledge on the use of all the spices in their store. So you could just walk into a spice shop and say, you know what, I don't cook much fish, but I'd like to cook more fish. What great spices would you recommend for a nice white fish? And you know what they're going to tell you? And they're going to tell you maybe recipes for how to prepare that fish. And they're going to let you smell spices and touch spices. It's going to be just a fantastic and a really fun experience. And by the way, an added bonus of going to a spice shop is spices make great gifts. So if you have people in your life that like to cook, a jar of spices can make it a really fun, really thoughtful gift. Now, I said, if you can't go in person, go online and check out some spice shops. because even though it's not going to be as much of a sensory experience, most really good spice online spice stores have great ideas on their website as well and have interesting ideas for the different spices and the way they can be used. A couple of my favorites, if you're going to go online, of course, thespicehouse.com is an old standby. They have a mind-bogglingly wide array of spices online. Not only a wide array of spices, but each spice usually has three or four varieties, if such a thing exists for that spice. So you can find practically any type of spice you want at the Spice House. Now, I'm not super crazy about their website. It's not that exciting, other than they have a huge variety. But one website I've really been enjoying lately is a smaller spice shop based out of, it's in Louisiana. Boy, I want to say Baton Rouge. I could be wrong about that. But it's called RedStickSpice.com. RedStickSpice.com. Amazing images, wonderful recipes. The owner is a chef, and she's always putting up interesting ideas and recipes. So go to a spice store in person or a spice store online, and I'll put links to those spice shops at kitchencounterpodcast.com/65. Okay, number four. Now, this one is kind of an interesting one. It takes a little bit of planning, but it can be really rewarding and exciting, especially if you love to travel, if you love to go new places and try new foods, or if you have kids that are in that phase of their life where they're becoming curious about the world and different places. And one, I think, really cool way you can excite them and get them even more curious and intrigued about the world around them is by tip number four, which is plan a virtual vacation through cooking. So, you know, I love to travel. My wife and I love to travel. When my son gets a little bit older, we're going to be doing some more travel abroad. And it's just really fun. And, you know, if you like to travel, chances are one of your favorite things about traveling is eating interesting food and different food. So instead of actually going anywhere, pick a weekend or pick a couple of days when you're around the house and you have some time to cook and schedule it off in the future and spend the time leading up to it. Maybe it's a family activity, maybe just as a personal activity. I don't know about you, but I love just to read travel books, you know, like travel guides. I know it's pretty dorky, but I can just read travel guides all day about places I've never been and probably will never go. But plan a virtual vacation through your food. So find out what the typical cuisine or ingredients or the signature dishes of the country or region you're interested in visiting someday. And yeah, chances are when you go to research it and eventually hopefully make these dishes for your virtual vacation, it's not going to be really authentic, but you're not going to know what's really authentic until you get to visit that place someday. And of course, this works retroactively too. So if there are places that you've traveled in the past that you've really enjoyed and really love, try to recreate the dishes you remember when you were on that trip. But it can be a really fun family activity, like I said, just to kind of learn more about a country or a region or a travel destination, learn what the people are like, learn what the culture is like, and of course, most importantly, in this case, learn what the food is like. If nothing else, you'll have a fantastic memory someday when you're sitting in that beautiful restaurant in Barcelona and you'll say, boy, do you remember when we tried to make that paella at home that one time and it just wasn't very good? Nothing like the paella we're eating today. So there you go. Plan a virtual vacation through cooking. All right, I'm going through these pretty fast, but I've got three more to go. And number five isn't my favorite idea, but it's sometimes the most fruitful or the most eye-opening idea. And that is commit to trying an ingredient you don't think you like, or maybe you're certain you don't like it, but commit to trying it, commit to understanding the ingredient and figuring out a way to use it, to prepare it, to make it in a way that you actually hopefully enjoy, or at the very least tolerate. So you've heard the saying, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. Well, if you need to figure out how to make something delicious, you'll probably figure out a way to do it. So for me, if just out of thin air, if I had to pick an ingredient that would be a candidate for me for this idea, it would be eggplant. I really cannot stand eggplant, or at least let me say I've never really had eggplant that I've enjoyed. there's probably preparations and recipes that use eggplant that are fantastic that I've not had yet. And it's up to me, maybe, to figure out what those are and how to make it so I can cross eggplant off the list of foods that I just can't stand. I mean, it seems like a risky idea, right? Because if you commit to, in my case, buying up a bunch of eggplants and spending time, you know, one day or one weekend or something trying to figure out the mystery that is that purple thing, and it turns out bad and you hate it and it's all gross anyway, you're going to be like, dang, what a waste of time and money. But, you know, you're going to find something along that journey that's going to give you ideas for other recipes and other dishes. And you know what? You can at least say you've tried. That's really what it boils down to. Best case scenario, you have an epiphany about your ingredient and you love it. And you can brag to your friends that, you know, I used to hate eggplant, but let me share this recipe with you that just makes it absolutely dynamite. All right, let's go on to number six. Number six is, now this is a obvious one, probably as soon as you hear me say it, and maybe you'll think it's kind of a cop out because it's kind of like, duh, why wouldn't I do this if I wanted to break out of a cooking rut? But it is take a cooking class. Now, I don't mean a full-on Culinary Institute of America type level of a class, and I don't particularly think you need to spend much money on this sort of a thing, and you don't need to get all fancy and crazy with it, because there are probably in your area a lot of places that offer some sort of cooking classes. So, for example, in the town that I live in, which is Salem, Oregon, not a huge town, about 100,000 people, there is, for example, the local community college often offers classes on different cuisines and cooking. One of the local appliance stores that sells some higher end appliances, they have an entire upstairs loft area that has a full demonstration kitchen, and they'll bring in cooks and chefs and restaurant owners from the area to give cooking lessons on Saturday. So if you're interested, say, in how to make pizza at home, I've been to a cooking class there all about homemade pizza. And as a matter of fact, some restaurants will even offer cooking classes if the owners are particularly passionate about the kind of food they make. Sometimes you can inquire and then they might even hold special cooking classes there as well. At the very least, if you want to go totally low-tech, no-cost cooking class, look up your friend or your family member that makes that dish that everybody raves about, that you absolutely love and would love to know how to make, invite them over for a glass of wine, and have them teach you how to make that dish. So that's a real low barrier to entry cooking class right there. But at some point, what I find is when you go, even if you're going to a class about something that you're already quite familiar with, you're going to get new insights. You're going to get different perspectives. If there are other people in the class participating as well, you're going to interact with them and you're going to learn things from them and they'll learn things from you. It's just a very dynamic, interactive, usually place to learn how to cook something and just get general ideas. And usually in a cooking class, as a, you know, complete bonus just to learning how to make something, you're going to walk out of there with all sorts of interesting shortcuts and tips and tricks from a pro that's just going to make your time in the kitchen that much easier anyway. So that is number six, take a cooking class. All right, last idea for breaking out of your cooking rut, number seven. This combines elements of some of the other ideas, particularly the one we just talked about taking a cooking class, but also the recipe exchange with friends. And that is find and join a local meetup or a club. So if you've never been to meetup.com, it's just simply meetup.com. You can sign up there for free. And people that want to get together with like-minded individuals can put together what's called a meetup. And that's simply kind of an informal club or gathering of folks who choose to be a part of it. So, for example, maybe in your area, you go online to meetup.com and you want to, just to use a non-cooking example, maybe you like to knit. There's probably a knitting or a sewing or some kind of related meetup in your area. And it typically costs nothing to join a meetup. Depending on how sophisticated different meetup groups are, some may have membership dues, some don't. It just depends. But it's just a great way, an easy way to find folks in your area with like-minded interests. And I would have to guess, I don't belong to any myself, but I've seen them out there in my area. There are baking meetups and cooking meetups and ethnic cuisine meetups. So if you love Thai food, there's a meetup for Thai food, for example. And these meetups are just put together by people like you and I. So it's not some crazy organization. It's just people that are using the meetup platform. Now, aside from meetup, of course, there are tons of ways you could also, I mean, there's probably non-meetup clubs. And, you know, maybe there's a wine club in your area that gets together once a month and tries different wines and hors d'oeuvres that maybe somebody makes at their home. I've talked in the past about dinner clubs or cooking clubs where a group of individuals or couples get together, you know, once however long a month, every couple months at somebody's house, and they have a theme for the evening and they all cook a dish that goes along with that theme. That's a great place to get inspired and break out of your cooking rut. Or maybe you want to start a lunch club at work. Maybe you want to get together with some of your coworkers every Friday or whatever, and everybody brings in something that they've made and they share it, potluck style. So there's ways that you can get together with other folks where food and cooking is the topic in a fun environment. And you're going to pick up all sorts of different recipes and ideas. You'll get encouragement and maybe, depending on the club, maybe some accountability to even try new things. When you're checking in with a group of people regularly on progress and, well, did you make that dish I talked about last week? Oh, no. Well, why not? You know, you'll get that accountability and that gentle prodding to try new things. But I really do think that whether it's a meetup or an informal club or any other kind of variety of get-togethers or clubs around food and cooking, I think they're a great way to get inspired and find other ideas. And they're fun. You're talking with people, you're socializing. You're socializing and having fun over food and drink, which is the best way you can socialize and have fun. So it's a win-win just in that way alone. All right, those were my seven ideas to break out of your cooking rut. Hopefully at least one or two or hopefully more ideas appealed to you and you're going to go out and try them. But let me just run back and summarize that list real quick. So number one was shop somewhere new, whether it's a different grocery store or specialty store or ethnic market. Number two, try a recipe exchange with your friends. So find your friends that also cook and have a similar situation to yourself and exchange your core basic recipes and see how you can improve on those. Number three was visit a spice shop, preferably in person, but it's that sensory experience. It's the joy of just finding and smelling fantastic herbs and spices from around the world. That's going to spark a lot of creativity. Number four was plan a virtual vacation through cooking. So where do you want to go in the world? Read the guidebook, but when you're done reading the guidebook and fantasizing and looking online about beautiful pictures, figure out what the food is, what the cuisine is, and give it a shot at home. See if that excites you even more about going on your dream vacation. Number five, commit to trying an ingredient you don't think you like or you're certain you don't like. Again, necessity is the mother of invention. You might be surprised and come up with something absolutely fantastic when you're forced to use something you didn't think you liked. Number six was take a cooking class. Again, no need to spend a lot of money or make a big commitment. Find your local home goods or appliance store and see if they're offering classes. Find restaurants or maybe your community college. There's all sorts of places. And I didn't mention it at the time, but there's even online cooking classes. Not really as good as the in-person thing, in my opinion, but they can work. And then finally, number seven, find a local meetup or club that's focused on cooking or cuisine or food in general and join it and meet some new people and get some new ideas. All right, I hope you loved those seven ideas for breaking out of your cooking rut. As I mentioned before, if you have an idea that you go to when you need to figure out something new to make for yourself or your family or your friends, email it over to me at feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. All right, everybody, that does it for another episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. I'm glad you take the time to listen in. And as I mentioned before, if you find value in the show and you think your friends or your family would as well, please let them know about it. And send them a link in an email or on Facebook and say, hey, check this show out. I think you'll like it. So thank you so much once again for listening to the show. This is Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Until next time, happy cooking.